Oh, hey, but.
Oh, he went away. We might be live. I think we're live. We are live. we'll have Bob pop back on here in a second. Add to stream. Nope. Hey, get back here.
It's we're not live. Oh, it is.
Oh, we're live.
On? Yeah, what we're live. What the heck?
Dude, it literally says live, and I do this stuff to monitor here.
Yeah, yeah. So let me check for myself to make sure we're live. You know what I mean? But yeah. Anyways, guys, welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast.
We take a couple weeks off, and
if I would take a screenshot, or like I can, will it break if I share my screen? Maybe. Let's see.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
No more.
So here's our screen, and it's like all this, but
yeah, it says go live. Yeah.
Yeah. It says and go schedule. Live. Like it's not live. So,
and usually like in the top left, you get like how long it's been going
and we can see how many people are watching and all this stuff. So that's all broken. So we're going to stop sharing that screen, but yeah, guys, welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode, I believe, 348. And of course our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, Ryan was leading off the podcast by himself. He's done that one other time.
You like dropped all of a sudden and it was like my big face and I was like, oh, this is weird. And then I looked over and saw myself big there and I was like, oh, hey, we are live.
I thought that we didn't go live. So I was like, let me refresh the page. Maybe it's like a mistake. Yeah. But it's definitely a mistake. And we've been having some StreamYard issues with recordings as well. So maybe they need to fix some things. But yeah, we are back. We didn't do a podcast last week. Right. And the last time you saw us was before the Consumer Electronics Show, so before CES.
Right.
And we did that one live. And then we did all of CES, and we were completely just like drained that week.
Yes.
And then I went to Hawaii right after for a vacation.
Yeah, you just got back.
Yeah, I got back last night.
Yeah, last night.
I didn't even have my computer set up. Well, I had like my tower set up, but I didn't have any of the streaming stuff set up. I had to like, you know, plug my mic back in, plug the audio in, like everything. So it's been a really, really busy day, but it feels good to be back. Absolutely. It's good to see Old Man in the chat and letting us know that we are actually live because you would just be talking and it would not be great. But yeah, it's Hawaii was awesome, man. It's the first time in Maui. It was good to take a break. It was like the one day we just didn't do anything and I sat on the beach and it felt
nice.
Like it felt so good to just do nothing.
Your first time to Hawaii?
First time to Maui. I've been to Oahu and Honolulu, but I was never in Maui. And Maui's like a lot more remote. It was really cool. I did a lot of fun stuff. I surfed for the first time.
Yeah,
it's very hard. It's very hard. But what's great about, like, you know, like obviously I live in California now, but what's great about Hawaii is there's like beginner beaches. And it's like, you know, super small waves, but they're very consistent. So the hardest thing about surfing is like, you know, good waves. But this one beach where I was surfing had like the perfect beginner waves, just one after another. So it was pretty easy to kind of get, you know, used to everything. I got up on a few waves, which I felt pretty good about, but it was a workout. Like I was dead tired after. But yeah, what did you do this past week? You got back from CES?
Got back, went back to work. That's about it.
Yeah.
Nothing nearly as exciting as Hawaii. So
yeah. Well, like I said, it was a horrible decision to do that back to back because basically I drove back from Vegas, back to San Diego. And then that next like day and a half, all I did was edit all the videos that we shot at CES so I could have it all done before I went to Hawaii, which was all day. And then I had to pack for Hawaii and then just leave. Like it was no time. I literally had no time for anything. But now, yeah, we are back. It feels really good to be back. It feels good to be back in front of a big monitor. I basically lived. Well, no, when we were in Vegas, it wasn't as bad. But this past week, I was just on a laptop and it feels good to be back in front of the 49-inch monitor, which is awesome. And yeah, so we're in this podcast, guys, we're going to wrap up CES. We're going to talk about some of our favorite products. Ryan did do our first review of 2023. He has done that. We're going to talk a little bit about some tech news, go over, of course, Case on Friday, and then just talk tech with you guys. So if you are in the live chats, definitely say hi. We can't see how many people are viewing because StreamYard's broken. So hopefully we got some people in here. But yeah, if you guys do want to follow along with everything that we're going to be talking about, we do have our show notes page that has everything. And you can kind of, you know, scroll through and see everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So let's just jump into CES stuff. One, if you are in the live chat and you, if you did watch any of our CES 2023 content, did you like the format? So we went with a different format this year. Basically, go to our meetings, record a bunch of B-roll, and then go back to the suite and sort of record it podcast style. I know for audio, it was far better than shooting in the suites, you know.
But you don't have to worry about other people being in the suites, right? At the same time, so getting it, all that background noise, there's just none.
Yeah, yeah, that really nice. That and like you're not as nervous because it's just me and you sitting there, and we can pretty easily just like continue to mess up because there's some that we did like a couple takes, you know. And
the
we
last,
can like
the last night, just like even getting started recording, like took 15 minutes because we were just tired and laughing and couldn't get going.
And if we completely mess up, like forget to record it, we can re-record it. Cause we, there was a couple that we forgot to hit record. And we did a whole segment and then we have to, had to redo it. So let us know if you did like that format. I think for live events, that's going to be the, probably be the thing going forward. It just made it easier for us. And we did the first day we were using like a big camera for all of our B-roll, and then we did switch to just my iPhone just because it was easier to get and easier to do and everything like that. And I think that will be the way we do things kind of going forward. But yeah, favorite products. I would say both you and I had one product that we both really, really liked this year. And it was from Fantex. It's their new case. It is the NV7. And again, we have a full video on it if you want to check it out. But this case is basically everybody's doing, we saw a lot of it, and we'll talk about another case towards the end of the podcast. Everybody's sort of take on O11 dynamic from Lee and Lee. You know what I mean? What did you think about this one?
So yeah, first off, it does look very similar to the O11 dynamic, right? With just that front glass corner fish tank look. I think I've always been a fan of Fantex cases. I think though that they've done some amazing things with this. Like everything is done right. There were so many new things that we saw on this case that was just like, wow, how has nobody done this before? And they did it in a way that it's like, yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. Like the back of the case and how the panels come off. And just, you know, I don't know how in depth you want to go in talking about the case. But there's just like all sorts of awesome features that just make sense.
Yeah.
And it looks great too.
I mean, these look absolutely awesome. I think the thing I really liked about it is just like you said, everything was sort of just, they thought of everything, you know, just like this bottom section. You can see in this case that the fans are at an angle for a little bit better airflow. In this case, they're flat. You know what I mean? You have tons of room for water cooling here and the largest graphics cards. Like this is the largest graphics card you can really buy right now. It's the
RTX. They are huge.
Yeah,
RTX. They're absolutely enormous.
4090 Strix from Asus. I mean, that fits in there no problem. I love how the motherboard section is wrapped in this RGB lighting,
And that lighting like can be adjusted, right? Those are little panels that come off. So if you have like an EATX motherboard, the one on the side of it can kind of flip around and give you better access for the motherboard. I mean, it was just very cool how everything fit together and looked like it was very carefully thought out.
Yeah, everything in here was just, it just looked really, really good. Yeah, it's and even like there's like some USB, like your connectivity on the front, you can actually move this to the back as well. Like there's just so many things in this case that I really liked, that Ryan, I think really liked and appreciated, being the water cooling guy as well.
The power supply, like 24 pin, there's a routing section on the back side of the case where you can route that power supply cable for your motherboard to make it easier. I love that back door and the cable routing for like your USB and network and video cards and or video cables. Everything just makes sense with this case.
It's
very affordable in my opinion too.
I
think it was like 219.
$219 with no fans. And it's a big case too, so it's going to support everything as far as motherboards as well. And again, it's just a show off piece, and again available in black and the white. Of course, I'm a fan of the white. I love white cases. This is probably, I think out of all the cases that we saw, this one was definitely my favorite, I would say.
We saw the Y40 from Height, right? Which is this kind of the successor to the Y60. It's a cool case. I just like this one better. There were some other unique cases that we saw, and I don't know if that's what our next article is, but
this is actually the second part of
the other piece. Okay.
Yeah. I think out of all the cases, the Fantex NV7 was my favorite. Guys, check out the video if you haven't seen it. We talk about it in depth while we were at CES, and I want to get one of these really bad. Although I think Ryan should get one of these to do a new water cooling build. And I think,
but that's it's so big. I keep talking about doing a smaller build, and a lot of big cases. Like there was also that Asus Asus case that we saw, right? Old man says, if they keep going with all these clear panels, we're going to end up with those plexiglass cases again, right? Which is true.
Yeah. I had one of those cases actually. Years and years.
Was yours clear? Or did you have like the neon yellow or neon green colored? Yeah,
I had the DFI LAN party motherboard in there and everything, man. It was
cold cathode.
Yeah, I'll find pictures and we'll post it on social.
That's funny.
Yeah, I have the pictures of it, but so that was one of the products that Ryan and I both really like. Now talking about me, and I always say that I'm super fast storage guy.
Yeah,
I always say that. And ADATA had a USB 4 portable SSD, the only one we saw. We didn't necessarily search out all of these, but out of all the meetings that we had, at least that we saw, nobody else had a USB 4 SSD. So this was their SE920. Again, USB 4, they had it running too. It wasn't just sitting there, which was really cool to see. And we could see the actual speeds here. Around 3,800 megabytes a second read, 3,200 megabytes a second write. A little bit bigger of a drive, and sort of like you can kind of see in this picture, this little opening. If you press down on the drive, it kind of pops up and expands, and there's a little fan in there to help keep it cool as well, which was really, really cool to see. I just love super, super fast storage. I think it's something that, you know what I mean? I think I'm just super, super pumped on the super fast
storage. Yeah, I like seeing those specs, right? And the fact that they had it running live, it clicks out so nicely too, and like kicks that fan on. It's, you know, so you've got that active cooling, keep that cool, because that's one thing that we heard was a lot of these Gen 5 drives are just going to be, they're a little warm.
Yeah, so it was cool to see that. And again, the only one that we really saw, there might have been other ones at the show, but that's the only one that we saw. Yeah. Ryan was talking about CyberPower and their really cool case, but I was actually, one of my favorite things that I saw from CyberPower was not this case, that we do have a video on. You guys can check it out as well. Case that I've seen for a few years now, and they're finally making it, but it was actually their mechanical keyboards. Now, again, when we talked about it in the video that we made on these, but I'm a guy who's not going to build my own mechanical keyboard. I just don't have the time. It's just not something I want to do, at least right now. And even if you are, it can be confusing. Like you want a certain chassis, you want a certain type of switches, you need a certain PCB. You're not sure if they're going to be compatible. There's all these things when you're doing your first build, I would say. And what CyberPower is going to do is they're going to do sort of a build your own mechanical keyboard, just like you can build your own PC through their online system. they're going to be able to do that with keyboards. Now, all of the chassis will be the same, or the casing will be the same, but then you can choose the different type of top plate, the different type of padding. The I believe the PCB will be the same, but then you can, of course, switch types, different colors of the chassis, all these different things that you'll be able to configure, and then they'll build the keyboard for you and ship it to you. And again, you also have the ability to choose different cables, things like that. So you can have a really high-end keyboard built for you. And again, I think they had 9 different switch options, lots of stuff that you can really configure. And I really like this because, to my knowledge, I mean, there might be somebody that's building ones, or like a company that makes all these different products, like all the different parts. You might be able to get you might be able to buy a pre-built from them, but I don't know if there's a service where you can pick the different parts, it gets built for you and then shipped to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that was super cool. I'm excited for this. This is going to be their CK60. The keyboard will be anywhere from the $220 to $250 range. But I think it's going to be cool, and I'm probably going to order one.
It was so hefty too. Like, it was a solid keyboard. They had a bunch of versions of it, right? That with different color schemes and switch types and keycaps. Man, some of them were like just decked out and really awesome.
We have some in the video. I don't want to keep on trying to scroll through, but we do have some in the video as well. You can kind of see the different parts of the keyboard. And I think I have, here we go. Can see some of the different ones that you'll be able to get. And you can see the different keycap options.
That second one, that turquoise to gray fade is awesome. Yeah.
All the different versions of the keyboard that you can do. And I really like it. Like I said, so many possibilities when you customize this yourself. You know what I mean? Like I said, we'll let you know when these, this becomes available on their website, but I think it's something that's really, really cool in my opinion. So that was another one of my favorite things. And those were my three, the NV7, the USB 4, and then you, yours was Asus. You like some, what specifically did you like from Asus?
So what I liked was their, and I forget the name of it now, the Harp Ace Aim Lab Edition mouse. Super lightweight. Now, the crazy thing about this is it's wireless, and it weighs less than like a lot of wired lightweight mice. I'm just super excited to, you know, I've been a lightweight mouse person for quite a while. You kind of jumped on board with that a couple years ago. It's just, I want to try another new lightweight mouse, right? And I currently use a HyperX Pulsefire Haste. It's a wired mouse, lightweight. I want to try a wireless one, and this seems like an amazing option to give a shot. It comes, you can see there in the image, with the optional grip pads on the like the left and right mouse buttons and the thumb and pinky grip areas. You can obviously choose to put those on or not, but I was just blown away with how lightweight this mouse was. It also has a 36K DPI sensor, which is like insane. Let's see here, pre-binned mouse button switches as well for 70 million activations. They just like have gone about insane. This in exactly the right way, right? It's going to have multiple connectivity options, of course, 2.4 gigahertz, Bluetooth and wireless. And then they also had it'll give you access to the Aim Labs setting optimizer, which I hadn't ever heard of. I hadn't really looked into it all, but it's kind of like a mouse trainer, and it will make the correct settings for you. You kind of like go through these tutorials, right? Like maybe a sniping tutorial and a quick motion tutorial and aiming and things like that. And it's going to adjust mouse settings ever so slightly to adjust for, you know, your nuances and your type of motion to make it the most precise mouse for you. So I thought that was really cool as well.
I thought, like, when we picked this mouse up, it was super, super light. And again, I'm a super lightweight mouse person, so I thought this was just excellent. And the fact that it ties into Aim Lab, anybody trying to get better at games or at least first person shooters, I believe, should, you know, if you want to use Aim Lab, basically, again, like Ryan said, you run through tutorials and it downloads all the settings to your mouse itself. You don't have to go in and like, oh, what does Aim Lab tell me? Okay, I'll change that here. I'll do that here. It does it all for you, which is really cool. So do we know when that's going to be available? It should be shipping now. It's priced at $150, which you might think is a lot, but there's a lot in this mouse. They basically wanted to create the best lightweight gaming wireless mouse, and this is this
they also had a really cool keyboard as well. If you just scroll up, I'm not gonna talk about it, but you know, it's their version again of a, you know, a custom mechanical keyboard. It's got a nice little screen up in the top right with a little knob and adjustments you can make. We saw this thing torn apart, got some really good information on it. It looks like an amazing keyboard as well.
Yeah, and that's the ROG Azoth. Again, we have a video on everything that we saw when it comes to gaming stuff at Asus, so you guys can check that out. It is in the article there. Yeah. And then Ryan's final thing is HyperX, which we saw some interesting things there.
I'm going to go again with another mouse. Like, these were the two things I was excited about, which kind of, I don't know, maybe we'll talk about this after our favorite things. But the overall feeling of CES this year, I have some thoughts on. But I was, again, excited to see a newer version of my current mouse that I use. Like I said, the Pulsefire Haste. This is the Pulsefire Haste 2. Available in both a wired and wireless version. They have, as you can see in the picture there, closed up the top of the mouse. So the current Haste, which my cable's not in a spot where I can show you, but it's one of those mice that has the cutouts right in the plastic for weight savings. They don't do that on the Haste 2. So, you know, you're not going to worry about dust and pet hair and all that stuff getting inside of your mouse, right? And maybe interfering with buttons or the sensor or anything like that. So just, again, another super lightweight mouse that I'm excited to try out because I've really enjoyed using the Pulsefire Haste. And yeah, again, it'll come with, you know, just like the Haste did, just like that Asus mouse is going to, the grips that you can add on if you like or don't like. Adjustable or not adjustable, but replaceable skids and skis for the bottom of the mouse. Just another mouse I'm excited to take a look at.
Nice. Yeah, we saw it, picked it up, super, super light. Yep. Will be available in both wireless and wired versions, black and white.
Black and white.
Yep. Yeah. And again, we have a video talking about it as well. So check that out there. And that was like, is there anything else at CES that you saw that like really blew you away? I know we already like the Samsung monitors are always great. Yeah. We have videos on those as well.
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, in years past, it's felt like there's always been that thing where you're like, wow, that was amazing. We're excited to see that. This year, I just felt like maybe things were not quite picked back up 100%. A lot of the folks we talked with didn't have a lot to show, to be honest. Now, in some instances, there were, right? Asus had a lot of stuff that they showed us. Cooler Master, we looked at a ton of things.
Cooler Master had so much
stuff. Oh my gosh, they had a ton. You know, but a lot of them just didn't have a lot for whatever reason, right? Who knows what that reasoning was. So I felt like this year's just overall trip and experience was, I don't know, less exciting than years past, which is why I ended up with two mice as my favorite items here, right? Even though we just came off of a 4070 Ti launch at CES, it wasn't I wasn't excited to see those.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, I thought there were a couple cool things, but yeah, it's kind of like the things that we expected. A lot of the stuff we got briefed on before CES anyway, so I kind of wasn't excited when I saw it because I was briefed on it. And I think when it comes to specific PC hardware, we're just seeing a lot of refinement in a lot of products, which is fine. I think this year was like the first year that a lot of companies are kind of coming back. And even a lot of companies weren't there. So they're spending a little bit less money as far as new products and as far as you know, going to the show and things like that. But overall, I think I had a great time. It's CS is always crazy.
No, I still had a good time. Absolutely. Yeah,
it's always a good time, but at the same time, it's so much work. Like most of this, I barely slept that whole week.
Yeah, you had some really late nights for sure.
Yeah, editing all the videos that we were putting out because you want to put them out during the week.
Yeah.
But again, I do think our setup this year was good as far as covering the show, and hopefully you guys appreciated all the content that we put out. I didn't really count how many videos we put out, but we did a bunch, and we still have a bunch of like short format videos coming as well. So it's just a lot of stuff, but it was like I said, it was a lot of fun. It's good to see Ryan in person. I hadn't seen Ryan in person in 3 years, so that was
cool. we did 17 videos.
Nice. 18.
Yeah,
nice.
And but we did some shorts too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shorts on, yeah, in there as well. So lots of stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much CES, guys. If you do have any questions about the specific products that we covered at CES, just let us know. Hit us up on social media or just leave a comment below this video, and we'll definitely try to answer it there for you. But lots of cool stuff to look forward to this year, I think. We saw some products that would be coming out a little bit later. But we'll move to reviews, and I don't know. I guess Ryan, if you want to share this on your screen, because you're the one who, who reviewed this, so you can kind of run through it. But a new AIO from EK. I think this is our first EK product that we've reviewed as well.
Yeah, I know it's definitely the first one that I have. Cancel. I gotta remember how to use
StreamYard. We're a little rusty because, like I said, we did the one live in Vegas, but it's been like 3 weeks since we've sat down at like our computers, right? And actually did
it's
been a little bit.
Oh, interesting. So it doesn't show, huh? Okay, cool. Whatever. I'm just saying it doesn't show my bar at the top, right? It's just the window itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Inside the processor. Anyhow, yeah. So I took a look at a 360 millimeter AIO from EK. It is their Nucleus CR360 Lux DRGB cooler, right? That's a full mouthful.
Huge name.
It's a huge name. Whatever, that's fine. One of the things, though, I want to talk about first is like the presentation. You know how like you're open? Well, I don't know because I don't have an Apple phone, right? But that you always hear about the Apple, the iPhone unboxing experience and like a premium phone unboxing experience. That's almost what this was like opening this up, which kind of gives you like a nice start, especially if you're maybe a newer person to cooling. And I'll talk about that here in a second. But everything like was in its place and nicely stored, right? The foam here that was used on this is a little different than some others. A lot of times you'll just get like a cardboard box that's kind of molded, but just this looks a little nicer and presents a little better. But what was really awesome was the accessories box that came with this cooler. So included in this box are, in this little orange pamphlet here, all your instructions for installation, but then you have all your various mounting hardware for Intel and AMD kind of in their little slots held in place. You got your thermal paste here. You do have a couple bags of screws, but most of the time with a lot of these AIOs and the kits you get, it's just like a Ziploc bag with a bunch of little Ziploc bags inside of it. That's just like you gotta dig through and find them. It was just a better presentation overall.
I always love when case manufacturers do this as well. Certain high-end cases that I reviewed have something very similar to this, or even like a little box that's organized.
Right.
The Fantex G500A that I recently reviewed came with I think that was the case that had it. One of the recent cases I reviewed had a little box that you'd open and all the screws were organized. It makes the unboxing experience so much better, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. So in most instances, this is a pretty standard AIO, right? It's not crazy. It's an all black unit here, but there are a couple features that you may not notice here in this picture if you're not used to taking a look at all-in-one coolers all the time. But I'm going to point out two of them just real quick. The first one is this box that's kind of around where the tubes come out of the radiator. I'll touch on that in a second. And then these nice aluminum strips on the side of the radiator to just give it a little nicer, higher end look. Again, like EK, you kind of going to pay that EK tax, I guess I'll call it. You pay the Apple tax, right, for the nicer fit and finish. You pay the EK tax. You pay the Corsair, right? It felt very much like that. A very, very good product overall. But yeah, so here's like a shot of how these aluminum strips on the side are attached, you know, with a nice Allen head screw that's sunk in, just gives it a really nice like you fit could, and finish.
You could probably remove those and maybe like
yeah, and swap them out.
Possibly like swap color them or engrave them, things like that.
Exactly. Nice. Exactly. And then we've got this end cap to the radiator, which most radiators will like just kind of continue on lengthwise to the end, but we've got this larger rectangle here with a nice EK logo on it. And what that does is kind of hides your standard fittings that you'll typically see on an AIO, usually underneath here, and they're going to be there under here anyways, but they're just hidden by this shroud, is just like some crimped connections most of the time to connect your tubes to the radiator. They're not ugly, and most companies, you know, kind of put like a cap or a cover on them to make them look nice. But what I really like about this is once you have this height here, when you put your fans on, the fans line up with the size of this radiator. So it's all just one smooth rectangular shape, just kind of that attention to detail and idea there that kind of sets this apart from other radiators and AIOs. This is kind of a top-down look at the pump housing itself. It's just a circular lighting design. It does have addressable RGB lighting in it. This isn't an LCD screen, but they do offer a version of this cooler with an LCD screen if you want to go that route. But the cool thing is this cover just kind of pops off and is held on by magnets. So
I love this. I love that.
Yeah, you can orient this in 90-degree increments. So like if you, for some reason, are running a different layout on the interior of your case, this can adjust to kind of look correct and not doesn't look like you've got the cooler in there upside down or anything like that.
I've accidentally installed like a cooler, and then I looked at it, I was like, the logo's backwards this or whatever. Wrong. And then I just like left it sometimes. I was just like, I don't want to redo this. But that solves the problem though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So makes it quick and easy to make the change. And then they've again just kind of continued on that brushed aluminum look and polished edge here on the connections at the pump housing as well. Those swivel connections, they've made some adjustments. They used to have a stacked design, but they've gone to a side-by-side design so that you can swivel them a little easier and get a little better installation.
I love that.
Than some other designs. Pre-applied thermal paste is always nice, but they do include another syringe in there for future installs. And then they come with this kit comes with the EK FPT fans. Again, they're ARGB or DRGB fans, so you've got custom lighting in there. The really nice thing about these is, and we've seen this a lot with fans in the last 6 months or so, is they kind of daisy chain together with each other, so you don't have all this extra cable mess. All of your lighting and power for the fan is connected in one little connection here, so you can daisy chain those fans together, and then you use a add-on or a clip-on cable that separates out your fan power and the lighting to connect to your motherboard or lighting controller. So that just cleans things up, which I'll show you here in a second on the installation piece. But this kind of gives you a shot of what I was talking about in this area here, where you have the fans that line up just right with the end cap on this radiator to make it look really nice. As you can see, there's like no cabling shown here. And that's because that's really all the cabling mess you're going to have with this. Usually it's just like a bundle of like mess. Spaghetti there you're trying to pull through, and then you're like, all right, which fan was this, right? Like which light goes to which fan, which cable goes to which fan. None of that here with this, which is really nice. Tossed on some AM4 mounting hardware. Installation's super easy. The instructions are very easy to follow. No issues with that. And then you've got the cooler popped on there. Performance-wise, this kind of sat in the middle of our test results in both idle and load instances, right? So it wasn't the coolest running AIO, but it wasn't the hottest. And that goes for load and idle temperatures. with that. Those fans and the pump are PWM controlled. You can obviously also adjust them to your liking if you wanted to.
No software.
No software required, absolutely. And that is one thing that I kind of dinged this for. Not software wise, but there's no integrated like lighting controller. So if you don't plug the lighting connection into a controller or your motherboard, it won't light up. Most AIOs will have like a default like rainbow, right?
Yeah, or even if it was just one default color. Yeah, yeah.
Right. There's nothing like that on this. So if you don't have it plugged in, it's just not going to light up.
Yeah.
So that kind of stinks, but in most cases, you're just going to connect it to your motherboard or a lighting controller and go on with your life. So I really liked how the EK logo is also illuminated. At first, I thought it was just like a transparent, like light channel that would carry on from the lighting ring. But when you take that cap off, there would be no reason for it to have any of those connector pins unless there was an LED inside this logo, right?
Oh, nice.
Because when you take this off, it's translucent plastic behind there that has the lighting that shows up. So anyhow, I thought that was kind of cool. Just some glamour shots here of the cooler. Overall, I gave it an 8 out of 10. Price-wise, it's $189.99 right now over on Amazon. Comes with nice looking fans. Performs moderately well, right? Like middle of the pack. That's not bad by any means. To be running in the middle. Yeah, good aesthetic and user experience. Again, that unboxing, installation, fit and finish goes a long way. Like if you're a new user, or just someone that's, you know, maybe swapping out components, it's nice to have just a good quality experience. It's got the custom lighting, reduced cable mess with those, you know, daisy chained fans. Overall, you know, happy with this product. Yeah,
nice.
Definitely worth checking out. It was cool to see our first EK product, right?
Like
you said, I don't know that we'd have ever taken a look at an EK cooler or anything like that. I've had like a SN750 SSD that had the EK heatsink on it. That's about as close as I've gotten.
Nice. So you feel like EK lives up to the hype as far as the fit and finish and all that?
Yeah, I think so. I'd be interested to see, you know, some of their other components at some point. But I had no issues. Everything seemed to, live up to that hype. You know, they're probably the top name in, or at least most popular, well-known name in custom water cooling. Not so much in the AIOs, because that's kind of something a little newer for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they've lived up to their expectations.
Nice. Yeah. We'll definitely check out that review. Ryan worked really hard on that while I was in Hawaii.
Hang on. Old man asked if there's a difference between AM4 and AM5 water block size and mounting bracket. Most of the time, you're just going to use the same bracket. It's got spacing holes for AMD or Intel. Now, they are different brackets for AMD and Intel. But the sizing or the spacing between AM4 and AM5 holes on the motherboard are very close. So a lot of times, newer products are going to, you know, come with that adapter, or older products. Sometimes they'll have an adapter plate.
AM4 and AM5 are the same size.
Yeah. Size wise.
Yeah.
You're correct. Sorry.
So you won't, for AM4 and AM5, like if you had an old AM4 CPU cooler, it's going to work on AM5.
AM3 has the smaller.
Yeah. So yeah, you won't need any type of adapter or anything like that.
And block size. Yeah. They're the same size.
Yeah. And if for some reason there is a discrepancy in the mounting for some, there shouldn't be, but the cooler manufacturer will let you know if it's compatible, with the newer, you know, and a lot of times we've seen it with Intel, as well, like the cooler manufacturer typically provides an adapter kit for free. Like we went from LGA 1200 to 1700, like there was adapters, like Noctua, you know, for all their coolers, they provided an adapter for free. But for AM4 to AM5, there shouldn't be an issue. I haven't seen a cooler that works for AM4 that doesn't work for AM5.
Yeah. Sorry. I was misspeaking. Yeah, I meant the older connections there.
It's all right. It's our first podcast back. You know, we're a little rusty. We're a little rusty here. I'm like half asleep. You know, it's just first I got back. You know, like I said, I got back in late last night and was just trying to get everything rolling here. But talking about water cooling, and I believe there's EK parts in this. I could be mistaken. There's not. But we're going to get a case on Friday, of course, which is where we feature a build or mod that is in a community. And just by looking at this, I wish I could cover it up. Like, I'm going like this to try to cover up the name, but you see it now. But like, who do you think built this one?
I don't know. I haven't looked. Okay. Yeah. I see it now. But yeah, I don't know if I would have guessed it.
It's his style. This is from Sneff Computer Design. This is the Yule Beast Atlas 2, which is a great case, and it's his kind of take on it with some amazing water cooling. I love this bottom channel here with I guess that's reservoir or just channeling, but it's big and you can like actually see it. And I'm guessing that this button is the power button for the system.
I was going to say, yeah, it looks like the power button at the bottom.
Yeah. Green design here. The new Lian Li fans. I guess this is Bits Power.
Which those fans do look good. I mean, you've got them on your build.
No, these are even newer.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the newer ones. So the older ones just had some lighting here. This is actually
the mirror.
Yeah, the infinity windows in these, which look really, really good on this build. But yeah, just some great lines, great color, amazing case to do the build in anyways. It has the Maximus Apex board that we saw a lot at CES. A lot of companies were showing off their super fast DDR5 with this board. This is one of the few boards that will actually work with a lot of DDR5 8000 and stuff like that. But yeah, see how they have the top with the distro plate in the bottom, which I think is really cool on this one. You can see the top there. How cool is that? And then the bottom.
Very cool.
Right there as well. So pretty, like I said, pretty awesome build. Again, I'm always like, I want this. I want this. And I believe they used, is this the Galax card? What card did he use in here? Let's see.
It's a white PCB.
Yeah, it's the 3090 Ti, the Galax Hall of Fame. So pretty cool. And you can see, yeah, just looks super, super nice. Go ahead and check this one out. Again, this is from Sneff Computer Design. We featured a lot of his builds over the past year. So check this one out. And of course, if you want to see some more builds, you just go to the Case Mod Friday section on the website. And there is a ton. Currently 54 pages worth of stuff that you can check out. So if you want to get interested in custom builds or seeing what can be done with PC parts, go ahead and check that out. And then we will go to news, and we're not going to do a ton of news because we spent half of the podcast kind of wrapping up CES, but some of the bigger news stories since CES time. The first one is Intel did officially launch their Core i9-13900KS, $699. It's a $110 premium over the Core i9-13900K. Again, this is the KS, which is pre-binned, will boost up to 6 gigahertz without any overclocking. Now, that's only on one core, I believe. Do you get excited for these special edition CPUs anymore? Or is it just like, okay?
Not necessarily. Like, I'm excited in, like, I like seeing benchmarks broken, right? I like seeing high-end overclockers do their thing with these parts. But for the average person, like, I don't know that extra price premium over just the standard K model really makes it worth it.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said, yeah, I get excited about records being broken and high end cooling to break records, but past that, not really.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I don't get super excited. I don't think I would spend the extra $110 either.
At the same time, like $700 price point doesn't seem crazy.
No, because again, what was the company that would sell the pre-binned
Yeah, I don't remember, but they CPUs. Were charging a premium for it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, it, again, if you want the fastest Intel processor that's currently available, this is it. And if you're doing a build, the extra $110 isn't necessarily crazy. Right. So yeah, so that is official. Finally, we knew all the information for the most part, but it's all out there. There are reviews of this out if you guys want to check that out as well. One thing we also saw a ton of at CES was RTX 4080, 4090 laptops.
Yeah.
We saw a ton of these, and these are crazy as far as performance. I know that it's not the actual RTX 4090. It's cut down version, and that's always pretty much been the case. But a lot of people are really upset with the naming. But in any case, these new laptops you can pre-order certain ones on February 1st from all the different manufacturers. We've already seen leaks of the MSI ones, and like the 4090 laptop is like, I think they said $4,700. They're getting up there. But again, it's more or less like a desktop replacement. Remember, you were playing...
I played a couple things on...
You were playing a...
I did a racing game.
Yeah, racing
with three simulator. 4K screens.
Yeah, yeah, I mean... being powered from a laptop that was not all that thick. Like it wasn't a massive, laptop.
Was it one of the 16 or 18 inch? I think it was one of the 16.
Yeah, it was maybe a Razer Blade 16. So I think if you're looking for very much a desktop replacement, or if you are a laptop person who's doing gaming as well as video editing, things like that, and you want a super powerful laptop, these are going to be the ones to get. And you're going to see prices increase because the amount of performance that you're getting out of these, especially compared to previous generation laptops with, 30 series graphics. I mean, these are really pushing the envelope here. So I'm not in the market for that type of laptop. I don't think I'll ever be, because I just don't.
You're just going to use your main rig.
I'm going to use my main rig to game. When I travel most of the time, I'm not sitting down to game either.
You're not going to Hawaii to play games?
No.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it's just, I don't think I'll be in that market, but there are a lot of people who are in that market who would prefer a laptop over a desktop, and then they want to be able to travel with it. So these are going to be expensive. We'll talk about when these come out, we'll definitely see some reviews and see what these machines can really do. Just like the Fantex N7, NZXT is doing the same style of case. They have their H9, which looks like this, which I'm sure I can just find better pictures than what we have. But I think everybody's doing this, right? Yes. Don't necessarily like this at the top. If
the sunken down look.
No, that's a window.
Oh, mesh top as well, though.
Yeah. You can get the Flow, which has the mesh top. Now, what do you think of this one? These are what? Why is the Elite 239?
I looked at these, not super close. I didn't do like a direct comparison, but I was. Notice
this one probably comes with the
fans.
Yeah, this one comes with four fans. But what do you think, like, overall? I mean, everybody's doing this now. Everybody's doing the three panel, which I'm definitely a fan of, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the look of it. This is just NZXT's take on it.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't looked at an NZXT case in forever. So, I like it. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah,
price-wise, like especially the Flow, $160, perfectly fine price there.
Yeah. I didn't see the back chamber. It looks like your power supply goes in there.
Some drive storage. Drive
there. Yeah, and then you have they have the cable tie downs here up here as well. This section makes it so you can install stuff pretty easily too. And those, you can probably put SSDs on all this section as well. So, there we go. So yeah, like I said, I think these do look nice. I like it. I think everybody's gonna have a case like this. Lee and Lee just started.
That's gonna be hard to get away from a case design like this.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be the thing for a while. I don't know. What do you think is like the next
thing?
Yeah, maybe like Old Man said, it'd be like the acrylic, like the whole thing is just glass, you know, which obviously wouldn't be great for airflow. I mean, we went from like all glass panels, you know, like I said, like this one has the top
glass panel on every side.
But I like this case. I think it's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see some reviews of this case as well. So maybe we'll get one into review. And then finally, new M2 Pro and M2 Max chips from Apple. I know we don't cover Apple stuff that much, but I wanted to throw it in there. New MacBook Pro and Mac Mini coming out. And they're going to do 14 and 16 inch on the MacBook Pros. A lot of people are excited about these. Just again, Apple, we've talked about this since the M1. The amount of performance they're able to get with their own chip, how they can obviously have full control over the chip. These are going to sell. These are going to sell out like crazy. Oh, yeah.
I saw a lot of people really excited about like the entry level Mac Mini.
Yeah,
because of the pricing, I think it's like $599 for pretty nice specs. The only thing that I thought was kind of funny was it only comes with 8 gigs of RAM and it's non, you know, replaceable, so you can't increase it. But a lot of folks are saying, well, you know, you're so used to that Windows thinking that, you know, you don't think 8 gigs is enough. But you know, so which I could be. Could be, right? Absolutely. Yeah, it's $599.
Yeah, $599. Yep. It's their M2.
Yep.
8 gigabytes, 256 gigs SSD in there. I always think it's a Mac Mini, right? That's what it's called. Yeah. I always think the Mac Mini is such a cool little machine. You know what I mean? Yep. A lot of people use it for a lot of different reasons, but I think
our buddy Jim over at Home Gadget Geeks, he uses one for, you know, his podcasting setup and other work. So,
yeah. So you can go from obviously $599 to the high end. Can you like max these out? Yeah. So you can do the CPU. Higher end CPU. You can put more. You know, $400 for to double the memory. Oh, $2,400 to double this. How much can the? Oh, yeah, let's put 10 gig Ethernet on it. We don't. Yeah. Well, we'll just buy all the software. How much we get?
$5,000.
Yeah, we're at $5,000. That's not bad. I did see a lot of people recently. I was like, when I was on the flight, I was like on Twitter just because I was bored, and a lot of people were talking about like the trade-in values of, especially like the Mac Pro. Like somebody was like, yeah, last year I bought a Mac Pro for $57,000. I completely maxed out. And they're like, yeah, I went like to like, you can, I guess you can go on Apple and like see the trade-in value. Guess how much it was worth?
I don't even want to know. Just it was like $3,000 or something.
$970.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was like, oh yeah, this is the, what's the game? This is the GameStop of,
Yeah.
Like when you try to trade in your PC game, they're like, or the, when like you or trade like in
Pawn Stars, you're like, yeah, best I can do is $1.25.
Yeah. So that's kind of funny, but yeah, really cool stuff from Apple. Again, I know we don't cover it that much, but I think these are, a lot of people are going to buy these, and it's good to see on the Apple side, like, a lot of performance. They're like generation over generation, they're getting better performance. Mm-hmm. And they're pushing the envelope because, you know, a lot of people that I know that are PC users, like user PC, but then their laptop's a Mac. A lot of people I know. And I think that Apple pushing the envelope when it comes to not only just the laptops, but everything else makes it so other manufacturers of say laptops and other devices, they have to kind of compete as well. So I really like that.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, there are reviews of these, I believe they were announced yesterday or today. So there'll be some, you know, some reviews out there if you guys are interested in that as well. And then coming next week, so I'll be taking a look at another mechanical keyboard. This is the Black IO 83.
This one looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I have it right here. I have I'll turn it on because it has these sort of like
smoked keys, right?
Yeah, like clear black keys. So let me make myself large here. So it has these clear black keys that you can kind of see, and it definitely picks up fingerprints because everything on it is like reflective. You can kind of see all that. But if I turn it on, you can kind of see it does look pretty cool.
Nice.
You need to turn it on. But yeah, it's a 83 key keyboard, wireless. You can use it wired. A lot of different things about this, but it feels really good. So I will have that for you guys next week here. And then I will also have some DDR5. So Sabrent, who we know for, you know, mainly in our case, SSDs and portable SSDs, they actually make a kind of default DDR5 module. So this is the Rocket DDR5, 4800 megahertz, and you can buy them in single DIMMs. So they sent us 2 16 gig single DIMMs. And it runs at the JEDEC speed for 4800 megahertz. So super simple. And what's really interesting is, like, you know, like all the JEDEC modules, like they don't have any heat spreader. This is actually, if it pops up, this is actually a sticker. It's all it is a sticker.
Oh, so it's not even nice.
Yeah, but it's going to look better than like seeing the actual chips.
Yeah.
So they have that there. So I'll be taking a look at that next week here as well. So, cool. So yeah. And that is going to wrap things up. Sorry for the weird start. I don't know how we're going to end this because I there's no button to end the stream.
Oh yeah,
which is gonna be incredibly interesting because even if you leave the stream and come back,
it's still going.
So we're gonna see how we can end the stream.
Yeah, and we don't have recordings either because I clicked over to recording. It says recording hasn't started.
Yeah, so not sure how to do that. But yeah, thanks guys for coming out. Again, it's a little janky because StreamYard just decided to not want. I didn't think we were live. It still says we're not live, but apparently we are live. And thanks for old man who's typically always here. It's good to see him as well. So.
I saw him. It was funny. I saw him in a comment on another YouTube video, unrelated to ours and not mine, and saw him commenting on a comic video. Today. So. It's funny.
Very cool. So thanks everybody for coming out. We're gonna try to end this. I guess Ryan, we should just leave. Yeah, just drop right out of the stream.
I'll keep an eye on it, see if it
because I'll do that as well. But we are gonna be gaming after this as well. So if you guys want to check out the gaming stream, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers back to Apex. I haven't played games in what seems like forever. So super excited about that. Again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And we will see everybody next week.